This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. This program can be re-listened to on the website, and the website has other information that you might find helpful. It has a weekly meditation, and I recently added a question and answer with regard to what names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the information then looks at the effect that would have on our teaching about where children go when they die and so forth. So you might find some of that information helpful. Now, today I want to look at Samson. We've been looking at Old Testament worthies, men who are personalities that the Lord seem to use in the Old Testament. I'm not really doing them in any particular order, though perhaps I should be. I'm doing them as they come to my mind while I think through this series of lessons we've been doing on the biographies of people from the Old Testament, and we intend to do some biographies on people from the New as well. But nevertheless, as we look at Samson, he was the 15th judge in Israel. He judged Israel for 20 years, and apparently at that time the enemy was the uncircumcised Philistine. And when we look at the uncircumcised Philistine, that's in contrast to the Jew who was circumcised, and it always speaks of the flesh. The enemy is the flesh. The Amalekites might often speak of that same enemy and give us understanding and pictures of what that enemy is like. With the Amalekites, we found out in the book of Esther that they are always an enemy of the Jews. And we find out that same thing with regard to Samson and the Philistines. It was the Amalekites with regard to Esther, the Philistines with regard to Samson. But they were uncircumcised. That's what Goliath was. He was an uncircumcised Philistine, and he was a giant. And he was a man that was a formidable enemy. But David, the spiritual man, was able to slay Goliath. And so Samson was brought on the scene for the express purpose of leading the children in victory against the Philistines. Hebrews 11:32 says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." And so we see that, again, Samson was one that God considered faithful, one that God considered to be a hero in a sense of the faith. And yet when I look at Samson, I would wonder if he was even saved. So when we look at Samson, we see that God does use imperfect people, and there's many people who are saved, and we look at them, and we quote that scripture in the New Testament that says, "By their fruits you shall know them," and we say, well, they don't really look like saved people, and it's true that by their fruits we'll know them in the sense that we don't associate with people, even if they say they're Christians, who are living as though they're not. Knowing always has to do with intimacy. So by their fruits you shall know them. But at the same time, if I were to look at Samson and look at his fruits and interpret that verse in the New Testament the way most people do, I would wonder if the fruits that Samson had in his life wouldn't indicate that he never really came to know the Lord. And yet, he was set apart for the Lord's use from his mother's womb. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. We read about that in Judges chapter 13, verse 5. This woman was barren, and an angel came to her. Her husband was named Manoah. And an angel came to this woman and says, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And so, when he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, that means that, according to Numbers 6, he wasn't supposed to touch liquor. He was not supposed to be controlled by the wrong spirit, in other words. In Ephesians, we find out in the New Testament that we're not to be controlled by wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The contrast is always between that which is natural and can take control of us and that which is spiritual. wine has its place. It does represent joy. It can be used in moderation. It can be used for sick stomachs, but it's not to be that which controls us. And so in the picture, when we look at Samson, this 15th judge, he was to be a picture of one who did the Lord's will and was controlled by the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that gave him his strength. It was God who gave him his strength. And yet we sometimes wonder if Samson really understood that, or if he thought his strength was just because of the natural way in which he'd been born and the way in which he had developed in a physical, natural way. Because he was strong, but he wasn't supposed to touch wine. He wasn't supposed to touch a dead body. That would make it appear that he wasn't supposed to touch a human dead body, but we're quite sure that he did, because in one case he slew 30 Philistines and took their clothes and gave them to a wedding party that had answered a riddle he had given them. And he had to take those clothes off those dead bodies, so he must have touched dead bodies. And yet the Lord did not take his strength from him. Why don't we touch dead bodies? Because we try to avoid the defilement of this world and the defilement that sin brings into this world and the confusion that it brings into this world. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And when we are saved, when we come to faith in Christ, we find out that we are dead in trespasses and sins, and we need new life. And when we trust Christ, we are trusting the one who is the resurrection and the life. And I hope that you have trusted him, and that you are separated from all that causes death in this world, the lies of Satan and the sins that so easily beset us, and so many of these things, that's defilement. We need the Lord, and we need the cleansing that only the Lord can provide. And so he wasn't supposed to touch wine or a dead body, and he was supposed to have long hair, and that meant he was to look different. Now, I know that Absalom was a beautiful man, and he had long hair, but Absalom, when we look at him, was really a type of Satan, or at least he was a type Judas in the New Testament. And so when we look at Absalom, he had long hair, and it was looked at as being beautiful, but it was not the norm in Israel, and obviously his attraction was physical and not spiritual. He was able to deceive the people into placing their trust in him rather than in the rightful king, which was David. But when the children of Israel had long hair, it seemed to be a reproach in their day. And it's even a reproach in our day. We read in 1 Corinthians 11, "Know ye not that it is a shame for a man to have long hair?" But in this case, they were to have long hair. And so this man would stand out. And if the question were asked, why does he have long hair? It's because he is dedicated to the Lord. And so Samson, from his birth, was dedicated to the Lord. That does not mean that at some point in his life he still needed to come to faith in Christ, just like all of us do. But from the standpoint of his service, God knew what he would be like, what his heart would be like, and he knew that he could dedicate him for this particular service of being the 15th judge in Israel. So when we look at him, he was dedicated to the Lord, and yet he violated nearly everything that he was asked to do when it came to wine. We would suspect that he drank wine at some of those wedding feasts, although we can't prove that. When it came to death, he touched that in some of the victories that he won with the Philistines. And when we look at his long hair, we find out that he allowed Delilah, a woman of the Philistines, to deceive him into telling her his secret. And she had his hair shaved, and yet he didn't fully understand that strength that he got, came from the Lord. And so when we look at Delilah, he loved Delilah, and we find out that when she convinced him to tell her where his great strength lied, he seemed to know, he had to know that she was going to test that, because she had asked him several times for his strength and he had lied to her, and everything he had told her to, told her caused him to have this great strength she tested. So he knew, he had to know she didn't love him. And so in Judges 16 and verse 20, after she shaves his head, she says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samuel." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And so he had to find out by experience that he couldn't do whatever he wanted to do and have the Lord be with him. And so it's often that way with us, because the Lord has blessed us and has given us strength. Sometimes we tend to get a little bit cocky and proud, and we do things we ought not to do, thinking that the Lord will continue to bless us. And in this case, he found out that his strength was gone, but he wist not. This is what was scary. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him, and they were able to take him and put out his eyes. And so he had been attracted to the women that he should not have been attracted to women of the flesh, women who represented death as far as Israel was concerned. The Philistines must have had awfully good-looking women, and so he was first attracted to a woman from Timnah. And because of her, he was forced to go out and kill 30 Philistines and give their clothes to the wedding party that he had challenged to answer a riddle that he gave them. And they answered the riddle by convincing the gal he wanted to marry to tell them the riddle. These women must not have loved Samson, but Samson loved them. And he went into a harlot from the Philistines. And then he went into Delilah. That is, he wanted Delilah for his wife. And the Philistines told Delilah that they would kill her and her father's house unless she figured out where his great strength lied. And she found out. And when she found out, she told the Philistines. And that's when Samson found out that when there is a line that you cross in your service for the Lord where you lose your strength with the Lord. But that doesn't mean he still couldn't be used, because at the end of his life, his hair started growing back. They brought him into the temple, the heathen temple of the Philistines. And in that heathen temple, he was able to once again use that great strength that God gave him to destroy the pillars, to pull the pillars of that temple down and to destroy the Philistines. And he killed more in his death than he ever did in his life. And so we look at a man who had his strength restored and who was used of the Lord to fulfill his mission at the end of his life. We pray that none of us will test the Lord's will like Samson did. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.